I'm going to talk a little bit about the word faith, since it's at the centerpiece of so many belief systems. Belief being another pretty powerful word. What do we have faith in? Where does our faith come from? Why do we have faith? How deep is our faith? How challengeable is our faith? How do we know it to be true? And you all have different answers. Each one of us has different answers. Some of our faiths are so powerful we will die for them, kill for them. And we're seeing that happening as I speak in the world around us. Has never been otherwise. Mostly our faith is that we believe something to be true, really true, transcendently true. Where does that normally come from, other than, if you will, a narrative or a story we have been told? Stories that are in some ways centuries old, possibly retold so many times they barely reflect the original truth of the story. Some of the stories are based on miracles, things we can barely believe based on our own experience. And some of us choose to do away with believing in those old stories, that people walk on water, that they part seas, that they bring back the dead, on and on and on, all these amazing stories, or they themselves come back from the dead. Incredible stories. And maybe they're passed on to us through so many generations that how could we possibly, as a one-year-old or two-year-old, begin to dissect the story or disbelieve the story, and then at one point we're probably so caught and immersed in story, in narrative, that we don't have any clarity of our own unless we begin to have our own experience. And if your own experience becomes larger, louder, noisier, more persistent than the narrative experience that you've been indoctrinated with or taught or come to believe in, if your own experience is so vivid, it then becomes the story you believe in and have faith in. Many of us brought to spiritual practice come to it because of something in our story that vibrates so vividly that we believe now that we have witnessed or known something so much bigger than the shared stories of our culture. And we start to develop our own narrative, if you will. We are now following our truth without thinking really that our own truth is already turning into a story. It's our story. It's based on experience. It's based on having been there, seen it with your own eyes, heard it with your own ears, breathed it with your own nose and mouth. So it therefore is, or at least was, true. And the years go by, and you are following the narrative of your particular story, which now, like all stories, can be somewhat challenged by day-to-day worldly experience. Sometimes worldly experience will enhance your story, will give it more credence. Sometimes worldly experience will take away your belief system. And it's hard for all of us to find really a story that holds up under any circumstance. Many of our spiritual lives we hand over to our guru, the teacher who has the answers, because we believe their story to be paramount, bigger than our own story or reflective of our own story in deeper ways, or bigger than the cultural stories and the religious stories and the theocratic stories that have dominated our lives, the lives of our parents, and the lives of our ancestors. But in the end, it's all belief and faith in a narrative that you have come to believe and hold on to with a certain amount of tenacity. Some of you will fight for and die for your belief. Some of you will walk away from it in a split second. So let me bring in my journey, which I've been doing more and more regularly here, which is no more real or meaningful than your own journey. But my journey was going along quite simply, nicely, as a kid, as a growing up in Detroit, part of a family, went to an elementary school with a lot of friends. I had a wonderful time. I had a religious life that was given to me by my parents that they kind of sort of believed in. It was more social than anything else. I became a praying child. I don't know how or why, but I decided there was a God to pray to, and I kind of used that. I was born Jewish. I didn't love the immersion in Judaism. I didn't love the ceremonial part of it because, one, I couldn't just keep sitting still. They stood up and sat down and stood up and sat down, which I hated. And they opened the ark and they closed the ark, and you had to stand when they opened the ark. And then there were all these stories that I was not a total believer in the parting of the Red Sea or turning a river into blood and all these things that were coming at me. And I also noticed that everybody in the temple where I went was much more involved in what they were wearing than what was being said or how things were being presented. But I went along with all of that. I had a bar mitzvah. I was, I don't know, ordained, if you will, in the Jewish faith. And everything was going along fine until the 1960s, and my roommate, also from Detroit, brought me, as you all remember, a dose of massive LSD, and the LSD blew me into another universe, so much bigger than the universe that we normally inhabit, that I actually felt that I was blown into smithereens, that I no longer existed, that I was in an ocean of some kind of being with no personality, nothing. And I came back from that unexpectedly and reemerged in this body, in the room I had started out in on that journey, shocked by it. And I said, as you all know, to the walls of the sky and the universe around me, why did I come back? And it said, to tell people what you saw. Pretty simple. And I tried doing that. I tried selling what I saw at that time I had just gotten a job, in fact, actually just a week later at NBC News. And I would go on the radio and do all these interviews about the power of LSD to change everything and change the story. And then I realized that the kind of experience I had was called a mystical experience. And for some reason, I was only aware of the mystical part of it in the Eastern tradition. There is part of that in the Western tradition as well. And I went to India to find a teacher and did not find a teacher after a year and a half of hitchhiking around and exposing myself to a lot of the Eastern religions, which I really liked because they were talking about the mystical aspect of my experience and reaffirming my story, my narrative. They were saying, you're not the first one to have this experience. This happens to multiple people. When I got back from my travels, having not found a teacher, the only truth I found was in the record store in Tokyo with Don't You Need Somebody to Love, Gracie Slick singing on Surrealistic Pillow. I came back looking for love, found my wife, and on the same day, probably, this is a good narrative, found Rudy, who said, "What were you doing in India?" I said, "I've gone to find a teacher." He said, "Did you find one?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, I can teach you everything you want to know." Boom, what a great narrative. And I started studying with Rudy, and things happened that were experiential, not just thought process, not just intellect, not just ideas. He would look at me, and I would fall off my chair. That had not happened to me before in my normal daily experience. And he called that Shaktipat. He was sending energy at me. I was not prepared for that, but I said, "Well, if I'm going to be exposed to, if you will, miraculous experience, there I am. I am having miraculous experience. I am having this wondrous moment of attunement with a higher energy," as I was told. And that energy was so big, it blew apart my normal physical conditional system, and I would find myself flat on the floor in a state of wonder. The more I studied with this man, the more I experienced that with a kind of control, because he kept talking about open and go deeper. Open, take a breath, ask for help to go deeper, watch what happens, and this thing would go deeper and deeper, and so would my story. My narrative was, if I went into these chakras, as Rudy called them, and opened them to the places that our Western mind refers to as open mind or open heart, I would have a spiritual life, meaning something other than a material life, something greater and transcendent of all that. And I bought into that and to some degree continued to buy into that, because we're sitting here now sharing the same Shaktipat, the same story, if you will. Except a number of things happened along the way, perhaps narratively speaking. About 10 years ago, 11 years ago now, I had an experience where Bruce, the bearer of the story, suddenly was no longer really there. There was something much bigger, much greater, much grander, which I had experienced on LSD in a way, that was there without the person of Bruce being the owner of it, the storyteller. And it kind of went away, and then I watched as it gradually recreated itself, kind of as a knower of this stuff. And it also put me in my place. It also said, you know, you are a knower. You are one with all that is, but you're probably a first grader in all of this knowledge. So don't get cocky about it. And I have tried to stay somewhat humble, but and they have worked very hard on that. I have to say, in recent years, the universe has come down very hard on me, and it has begun to take away even that narrative. The narrative that I have witnessed something, known something, can share something energetically with other people that I know to be true. It has done this thing to me now repeatedly, and I talk about it repeatedly. It has washed me clean. It is taking away everything I believe in. Everything. I wake up in days where I have no certainty of anything at all. The only thing I know is I'm sitting at the table in the morning, drinking my coffee, which now is giving me more acid reflux than I want, reading a newspaper that I don't want to read because I hate what I'm seeing, sitting with my wife, who I love and grateful for that, looking out the window at birds feeding, which I feel like this is beautiful. And I'm sitting there, and then I finish my cup of coffee and I go, I have no idea what is next. No idea. Nothing guiding me. And my story has been so wiped away that all I can do is wait, if you will, for the uprising of something that gets me out of the chair. what has begun to arise for me is a feeling of desire to be connected to the world, to be connected to life, to embrace the what is, even when it has no story, to just be present in it. And what starts to rise up for me is either absolutely nothingness, which is something you have to grapple with, and you will all have to grapple with at some point in time, and being with that, and then the witnessing of the arriving of presence, of gratitude, of awe, of simplicity, of love, of beauty. It just slowly fills the space. And when it does, as I've tried to tell you every week, I have tried to learn not to take hold of it because it's not a permanent fixture. It just is something that comes through, but is so beautiful and so worth it and so vibrantly alive that all I can do is experience this sublime sense of thank you. And the day goes into something. Usually stuff arises. I get an email, someone wants to call me to talk to me. I have my photographs, which I like to play with. It's a creating of beauty out of something that is static at first and then suddenly wants to be expressed more completely. People come to visit. Things start to happen to fill the space. But I know not to grab on to any of it because the space itself is truly empty. And learning to empty it and be, if you will, at peace, takes away everything you know, everything you believe in, everything you trust, every act of faith, and it leaves you in a kind of is faith in the story better than that? Maybe. Are people who have a full belief system at work able to engage day-to-day life with great excitement and possibility because all of this is going to happen in the end? I cannot argue that. It may be better just to have a great belief system and have all the faith in the world in the thing that will come later. But this experience that I have is almost non-experiential, and it's believing in the non-experience, the not knowing, the non-certainty, the simplicity of this moment, this breath, this second, period. And whether it gets filled with activity, which it can, which is sublimely exciting when it does, or whether it just empties out into not knowing anything, that is more real and more true than any story, any belief, any faith system you may want to engage. The reality is so simple because there is no mind in it. There is nothing in it. It just is. And understanding that is not possible because that involves engaging it in a way. And so when your mind wants to engage it, your instinct is to reach into this nothingness. And the thing I'm learning is don't do that. Don't do that. Just sit still. Take it easy. Used to be a great line that I love. Take it easy, but take it. Be simple. Be simple. Just be. And the universe, whatever this all is, will keep working and you will keep functioning because you still have a body, you still have all of these urges and needs and things that need to get done, and you will accomplish all of that, but from a very simple, still place. When you really allow yourself to sit in stillness, one of the things that starts to come up is this, what I have called rising energy, because it feels like it goes up and out. It often feels like love. It often feels like truth. It often feels like the most beautiful thing that could ever be. And it is there to be known and seen and felt and witnessed. And that's what happens. But it also can happen that nothing occurs. Nothing. And I believe the real work of what we call this kind of spiritual practice is sitting in that space. If you sit in that space, all of the residue of your story, of your mind, of your history, of your reactivity to things that you've reacted to since you were born, all of that will be seen. You will go, what do I do next? Now what? Why doesn't something happen? What is that? This crazy little noisy mind will start. And when that happens, you are learning at a deeper level than you've been before. And you have to look at that discomfort, that dis-ease, that old patterning that goes so far back you forgot it existed. You look at that stuff and you go, well, as I've said in the last few weeks, either you just ignore it, you let it go, or you say, shut up. And what happens when that stuff falls away and falls away and falls away is the deepest truth of pure being reveals itself, not to you, but as you. Now, you can believe what I'm saying as a story. You can take it as a narrative. You can say, well, I believe in Bruce and this can happen. Or you can say, fuck Bruce. Who cares what he thinks, what he says? And I would probably tell you that, to do that. But I would also tell you, what I'm describing has a specificity that applies directly to you. One way or another, somewhere along the way, you have to know, what do you believe in? Where is your faith? Where is your truth? I am describing one approach to that. It happens not to be only mine or Bruce's at all. It's just an approach that may have universal aspect, but the letting it go, the letting it go, the surrender, 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 the deepening of surrender, the reaching out to the borders of your ancient personality into construct and letting it go and letting it go appears to me to be the core journey. And I suspect as we approach finality on this journey, and we all pretty much buy into that story that we die, and I do think there's some ultimate truth to that, that moment of sublime, maybe, letting go is at the core of this thing we're learning to do. If you don't do this, if you don't sit still, if you don't ask to open deeply, if you don't ask to surrender, if you don't enter into stillness, if you don't live a life believing that somehow letting go of you is meaningful, it's fine. Live your life. Just live your life. This is one story. I do not claim it to be the story. It does seem to come out of many world religions. I did discover that the mystical experience was not just Eastern, it was also Western. There are many people who touch the ineffable, inexplainable, unknowable truth of being. And I use the word nothingness, but that's my choice. You can find other words. And you find that there is no context. There is no perfect storyline to it. There is no narrative that is exactly what you hope for and expect. There is, however, your version of it. Your version has great specificity. Your version is taking you where you let it go. I, because I've done this for 50 years, recommend sitting quietly, opening, asking for help to surrender, receiving this thing Shaktipat, which God knows what that is, but it appears to be something like love expressed through the ether and received. Rudy used to knock me on the floor with it. Love that really, really reaches you, changes you. Love, caring, compassion has great power. And if you experience it and you have it alter you, you then become, or can become, again, my story, a vessel for that very energy. You become someone who can transmit love, caring, compassion, goodness, sweetness, all that stuff to other people. Is that Shakti Pat? Yes. Yes. Is it the Rudy version of Shakti Pat? Maybe not. Why he was able to do that, I don't know. Why I've learned to use my hands and kind of direct energies into people, I don't know. The important part of all this is that you know who you are, what your faith is in, what your belief system is in, and then do the work. Do the work of it. Weak faith has no power. Strong faith has amazing power. There are people out there with amazing faith. And as I said earlier, they will alter the world for it. They will kill people for it. And they will die for it. Faith is faith. Faith that does not come from ancient narrative, but from your own narrative. Faith that arises within you from your own sitting still and witnessing the what is of you can be very powerful and potent. What you may discover, and I share my discovery with you week by week now, because it's not mine alone. Jesus seemed to express it, and so did Buddha. So I think they're good antecedents. Be a good person. Care about others. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Be compassionate. Be good. Be kind. The narrative seems to come down to that, at least for me. It doesn't say you will be rewarded. If anything, you're going to disappear. And what happens is the goodness and the kindness that arises of its own will, if you will, and fills the space that you occupy. And suddenly you are an embodiment of this energy. You are it, and maybe have always been it. And now that you get rid of your reactive, sleepy, dull persona, or very involved, engaged, active persona, what you discover is the thing that was reacting has never been separate from the thing itself. You are the totality of this energy. Knowing that doesn't help, especially if you identify with it. The only thing that helps is let go, surrender, be, and let goodness and truth and love rise up and express themselves through your physicality, through your emotionality, through your body. And then when you reach my age, it will be tested by the decline of, the decay of, the disintegration of the physical. And I tell you that only because if you don't have a strong practice, it will not survive this really massive test of disintegration. It will disintegrate with it. You will be angry and why me, God? Of course, you know, why not you? Every human being disintegrates. But if you can find this place of having already done the work of disintegration, when the actual thing physically takes place and it is not ever joyful or pleasant, I don't think, you will say, thy will be done. And you will find hanging on the cross the ability to forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what you will come to. I'm telling you this in story terms. The story that I created, this movie Ghost, ends with the love inside, you take it with you. That's the only thing I've really kind of brought into the world, other than some wonderful children and grandchildren. But I really feel that there are certain moments that we understand that are what we give life. They pass through us, and they perhaps live on. We do not. But the part of us that doesn't live on is always, always meant to fade away. The part of us that does live on is eternal. That's a story. That's a belief system. And it's at the core of why I still keep teaching. It's because that LSD experience in the 1960s still resonates. I think I saw eternity. I think I came back from eternity to share what I'm sharing with you now. When it is all over, I imagine that's what awaits me. Could be blackout, could be, who knows. But the power of that first exposure, the life I've led with that information, the teaching that I have managed to somehow continue in the midst of having been born a kid who knew nothing, is that I have arrived at a place that where knowing nothing is worth knowing. Knowing nothing is true. Being the vessel for that which knows nothing, being the vessel for that which is so much more powerful than having knowledge and story to share. So check it out. Check out your belief system. Go inside and ask yourself, what is it you're living for? What do you think? What do you believe? Most people really, they have a Sunday school belief system. Yeah, I kind of believe that. Yeah, probably, maybe. It's not going to work for you. When you hit this point, you know, it's different. When you get to a certain age, it's different. Not for everybody. A lot of people slop it through all the way. They just, And I wrote a movie, Jacob's Ladder. It's kind of like, what happens when you hit the wall and you die and you don't know what you've been in? According to the Buddhist, you go through a series of bardos and states and interpretations, and it kind of explores where you came from and where you've been, and it's wildly confusing, and you have to settle into and find the thing that will free you in that. All I'm saying in the narrative I'm producing for you is do it now. Do it now. Figure it out. What do you believe in? Where's your trust? Where's your faith? And go there and live it. And I don't care if it's this practice. I don't care what it is. But do your own inner work and you will be rewarded, if you will, by the wisdom that comes out of the practice. The insight, the knowing, the knowledge, the unfolding and the flowering of your true being. So I will stop on that for this moment. I will tell you that there isn't much more to say about it, except the thing that I find so amazing is that most people do not do this. They check a box somewhere early on. What do you believe in? Christianity, done. Judaism, done. Hinduism, done. Or you look at Afghanistan, which I don't want to look at, where these belief systems are activating on unbelievably powerful terms. And you see what belief can lead to. So, you know, try to figure out what stories are influencing your life, or create your own story, or move beyond story and just watch the simplicity of being unfold. Pretty amazing by itself. Any questions? I imagine so. Okay. Is there a question? I'm not sure if I saw. No. Okay. Thank you for indulging this. There really isn't much more to say at this point. So have a great couple of weeks. I'll be back in 2 weeks in California for anyone who wants to sit through this again. And I love you all, and I do appreciate you being available. And have a great 2 weeks.